believe me, everyone will be out there, you know, getting signatures when the time comes.
A recall effort could force voters to elect an entirely new assembly in October. And what are our trucking neighbors putting in their tanks? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That and much more up next. The Juneau Airport's wildlife mitigation efforts are going from 5 days a week to seven. The city-owned facility contracts with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services to protect mitigation. The airport board on Wednesday voted to boost the amount it pays the agency from $93,000 a year to $110,000. Airport manager Jeannie Johnson says mitigation targets a variety of animals, mostly birds. Dispersal methods can include fencing, harassment, even trapping and relocation. Johnson says Wildlife Services is proactive.
They are out on the runway continually watching. The tower calls them if there are any reported sightings of wildlife. Aircraft will call the tower, let the tower know. Generally, they're just trying to make certain that the wildlife doesn't become comfortable to being around here.
Wildlife Services kept an unofficial tally of its activities this winter and spring and found that about 30% of all dispersals occurred on weekends. Johnson says the extra service will start immediately. The additional $17,000 to provide mitigation 7 days a week will come out of the airport's operating budget.
We are going to reassess our budget at the end of this year and hope that, you know, some of our line item budgets, things that we had budgeted for, will not be as much as we budgeted for. And if not, we may have to make some cuts somewhere else.
While the Juneau Airport hasn't had a problem with bird strikes in recent memory, two bald eagles died in Sitka on the same day last August after colliding with jets. One of the planes was grounded when the bird got sucked into its left engine. The other was able to continue its flight after a delay. A recall effort in Haines could put every seat on the assembly up for election in October. Haines Recall Committee submitted applications for recall petitions to the Haines Borough Clerk, the first step in a process that could end in recall for three assembly members, Damon Hoffman, Steve Vick, and Joanne Waterman. Haines Jim Shook leads the recently formed committee that is awaiting the okay to start gathering signatures that would put the decisions to the voters.
I just felt compelled to step up because this isn't a political issue, not even remotely. The bottom line is the rule of law, and it is what has been burning inside me for a long time now, and I finally just simply decided that it was time for me to step up.
Borough code states that the clerk may allow petitions only on the basis of misconduct in office, incompetence, or failure to perform prescribed duties. The group claims that the three members failed to perform prescribed duties and how they voted on handling a controversial assembly seat that's now vacant.
There's a lot of sentiment around town in support of the recall. A lot of people are upset that a couple of events that have occurred on the part of the assembly have been not well received in a segment of the community.
The committee specifically said that the issue is that the three named assembly members voted to seat former seat E holder Greg Goodman, who a judge later determined did not fill residency requirements to serve as assembly member, before a necessary investigation was complete. Assemblyman Steve Vick is one of the members facing the possibility of a recall and says he believes the process was done according to borough code.
You know, I don't mind getting recalled for facts, and I've said this before. You know, people call me names and they write bad things about me in their blogs and their paper, but when it comes to the facts, I really prefer they're accurate, and this is not an accurate statement. I'm not really upset about, you know, someone wants to recall me for political reasons. You know, they can go ahead and do that. I guess that's the right of the citizens, but in this case, it's what they have in their petition is, from what I remember and can recall from the whole timeline and how the procedures went, it's just not accurate.
That investigation took place at the Haines Library with borough officials interviewing Greg Goodman about his residency.
It says in there that we rejected the contest before the investigation was complete. That is the main complaint or the main point they're trying to make, I think, with this, and that's actually not accurate. The investigation was complete. prior to the appointments.
The committee names an additional issue with Hoffman and Waterman, the other two members named in the recall petition paperwork. The committee saw grounds for a recall, and the two members vote to have a special election to fill the vacant Assembly Seat E, which left the seat open until October. Borough code states the Assembly had 30 days to fill that seat. Again, Haynes Recall Committee's Jim Shook.
The bottom line to the entire uncomfortable thing is the rule of law, period. You know, it's going to be up to the community who they run in an election and who they elect. That's none of my business. I just expect our lawmakers not to break the law, that's all.
We obviously don't agree, but this is their right to do this, and I would respect that.
Damon Hoffman says he would not change his earlier statements made during the June 13th Assembly meeting when he voted to hold a special election to fill seat E in place of appointing someone.
I guess I would stand by what I said before, is that, you know, I'm supporting the 60% of the people who voted for someone else. You know, I think that the people of Haynes are reasonable, and I think they'll make the right choice.
Shook is also one of the petition's sponsors, which means he's one of the 10 people who will be collecting signatures from registered voters when and if the time comes.
Well, believe me, everyone will be out there, you know, getting signatures when the time comes.
The committee has an added challenge.
We have 60 days, but we don't have 60 days if we want the two elections to run concurrent. So we really have to work hard to get enough signatures to get it on the ballot.
The group is hoping to put the recall decisions to the voters on October's regular election ballot. That means they have less than a month to collect signatures from the required 25% of the number of voters that turned out in the last election. That would be 275 signatures by August 12th to get the recalls on the ballot.
I am not recalling anybody. If there's a recall, it's going to be on the part of the voters of the borough. All I'm doing is spending all the time and effort to put the paperwork together, to put the petition out there. It's the voters that have to do the recall.
The committee is still awaiting final clearance from the borough before they can begin collecting voter signatures. Borough administration says the documents are at this time under review by the municipality's law firm. Shook says when they get that clearance, they'll hit the streets for names.
Well, I think folks will see people downtown, you know, with petitions, and maybe at the fair and various funnel points around town. That would be, you know, the logical place. I'm sure much of the logistics will be worked out by each of the individuals needing to get signatures. You know, maybe they'll just carry it with them, and as they go to friends' dinner, you know, go to friends' place for dinner or go to the store or whatever.
If the petition paperwork is cleared and enough voters sign their names in time to get the three recall votes on the October ballot, October 4th will be a big day for Haynes voters. They'd have to fill the entire panel of Haynes Assembly members, a mayor, three school board seats, plus possible ballot measures. Members Jerry Lapp and Scott Rossman's terms are up in October, which puts them on the ballot already. Being within 180 days of the end of their terms also makes them ineligible for a recall. Haynes hasn't seen a recall effort since the mid-1990s that involved the Haynes School Board. Canada Day was a time for Canadians to celebrate the union of three British colonies into a single country called Canada. But Canadian truckers, on the other hand, looked at the holiday a little differently this year. Because after July 1st, Canadian truckers, who sometimes ship to nearby U.S. ports, are required to fill up with biodiesel. The government passed a 2% renewable content requirement in diesel fuel and heating oil, saying they're continuing to ensure that protecting the environment while balancing economic growth and prosperity remains their priority. That was said by Environment Minister Peter Kent, who also says the move, along with a few other efforts, is aimed at reducing annual greenhouse gas emissions by about 4 megatons a year, the equivalent of removing about 1 million vehicles from the road. The Canadian Trucking Alliance has argued that the biodiesel mandate would increase the price of diesel and points to research that shows the policy will do little to help the environment. Meanwhile, biofuels are not so fashionable these days in other governments. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization wrote that it's becoming increasingly obvious that use of grain and oilseed for these fuels is of dubious benefit to the environment, uneconomical, and a threat to global food security. The Canadian government reported they've spent over $2 billion Canadian in subsidies to the renewable fuels industry in recent years, and cost to Canadian taxpayers is expected to be several billion more over the next 25 years. Avtech, Alaska's Institute of Technology, is accepting applications for two $2,000 scholarships for Alaska Native students. The scholarships are for students who will attend Avtech's Able-Bodied Mariner Training Program in Seward. Scholarship winners will be able to use the awards for the next AB Mariner Training Program in the fall. Candidates eligible for the scholarship must be Alaska Native, hold a valid Merchant Mariner credential or a U.S. Coast Guard license or Merchant Mariner document, hold a transportation worker ID card, and provide sea service letters. Avtech's main campus is in Seward. Classes for the school's allied health program are held in Anchorage. Remote site and distance delivery classes in nearly all Avtech's training programs are available statewide. Alaskans interested in the scholarships, the AB program, or other Avtech training should contact the Avtech admissions office for details at 1-800-478-5389. This is Tara Bicknell reporting for KHNS. Special thanks to K2's Casey Kelly for his help with this report.